Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's grace, mercy, peace be yours in rich abundance from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The word of scripture that I would like you to think about as we go through our service this morning is Galatians chapter 6. These last few weeks in church, week by week, we've been reading a significant section of Galatians. It's not the same as some of the other books, in as much it's not a letter to the whole world. When Paul is writing, he isn't concerned what's happening at Walmart or what's happening somewhere else around the world. He's writing to a congregation just like every one of you sitting here. He's reminding us early on about the love and the grace, the forgiveness, the death of Christ that's brought us here. But then as he continues with those chapters, he starts to become very, very specific. Chapter 6 is the last part of that letter. And in this one, he takes on the question of sin among the congregation, not outside the sanctuary, but you who are sitting here. I'm going to use one of the modern translations because of the way it communicates. These are several of the verses. Please listen. My friends, you are spiritual. So if someone is trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path. But watch out. Don't be tempted yourself. You cannot fool God. Don't make a fool out of yourself. You're going to harvest exactly what it is that you plant. So if you follow your selfish desires, you're going to harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. And then with that, Paul brings everything to a close. The part that is so interesting is he starts with a question, and it's one of those silly questions because you know the answer. If someone is caught in sin, really? Back in the 1990s, there was a very popular board game, and one of the questions of that board game said, which municipality in the United States of America has more churches per population than any other municipality in America? Anybody remember the board game? Christy, what's the game? Everybody's played Trivial Pursuit? Lots of you? Well, me being obnoxious, was invited by the city council because in those days they would have pastors come and we said the prayer before city council meetings. One of my times that I was there, Mayor Klein said, Pastor, if you would like to lead us in prayer, please do. And I said, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, before I do, I would just like to have a little bit of a preface so that you know what we're talking about here today. And I said, do you remember Trivial Pursuit? How many churches are in town? Anybody remember how many churches we've got here in town? 38 congregations. And I said, and remember, the mayor's there, the city council was there, the Akron Beacon Journal was there, the Record Courier's there, and anyone who has anything to say, so there's a number of people. And here's this obnoxious pastor, and I said, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, before I pray, you should just know one thing. We might have more churches than anybody else in America, but they are not doing a good job. Have you seen the sin in this city? I said, we need more churches. And they didn't know whether to laugh or not, and then I kind of giggled, and they said, okay. It's just kind of strange, isn't it, that Paul would say, if someone is caught in sin. May I be silly for a moment? If you have an obnoxious lawnmower that's hard to start, anyone got an obnoxious, does anyone here mow their yard? I'm okay, three of you, thank you. You're going to get a beautification certificate from the mayor. There was a pastor that didn't like to mow his yard either. And there was a neighbor guy down the road that all through high school he hired, and that guy would come every week and mow the pastor's yard. Did a nice job, pastor was so pleased, didn't have to deal with the lawn. Then the day came in late July, early August, and the young man said, Pastor, I'm leaving for college, and I'm not going to mow your lawn anymore. The pastor said, as you would expect, do you have any friends that mow yards? And the young man said, no, I don't. I don't know anybody to mow your yard, but I'll tell you what, I'll sell you my lawnmower. And the lawnmower was terrible. It needed a paint job. It backfired. It burned oil. It was terrible. But the pastor thought it over, and he said, you got a deal. I'll buy your lawnmower, and I'll mow my own lawn. So the next week, when it's time to mow the lawn, he pushes the mower out, and the pastor pulls, and you know what happens? And he pulls, and he pulls, and he pulls, and you know what happens?
Nothing.
And the neighbor boy happens to see him and comes out and says, what's going on? The pastor says, I can't get the lawnmower to start. Is there something wrong with it? The young man says, no, you have to pull and pull, and then you have to cuss a little. The pastor said, I haven't cussed in years and years and years. This teenage kid stared him down and says, don't worry, it's going to come back to you real soon. We laugh when we do all those things. Had you listened last week carefully, in Galatians 5, Paul does a laundry list of sin. And it's not silly. We could go around every person sitting here, and what he wrote covers the things we think that we should not be thinking that you know you've thought. The words you say that are vulgar, profane, unkind, and unhelpful, and you've said them. The things you have done that have been selfish and ungenerous, hurtful and harmful and withholding. Paul categorizes every one of those. Pull out your Bibles at some point and read Galatians 5. And he said, look, Christ has suffered, died, risen, given you everything. And that's not the way you're supposed to behave. So if someone is caught in sin, what are we supposed to do? I don't know if any of you know the name. E. Stanley Jones was a Baptist missionary in about the 1930s and 1940s. Very prolific writer. The thing that he wrote I like. I picked up all of his quotes just to show you. The early Christians did not say in dismay, look what the world has come to. Gosh, do we want to say that today. But in the light, look what has come into the world. But in his autobiography, Stanley Jones said, I really have sinned. Humiliated. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed that I, a Christian, would have done those things. I don't know if I can face you anymore. He continued to carry that, and he took Wednesday night, he had a group that he would meet with for study and prayer. Didn't want to go, but he went. Didn't say a word. One of the leaders said, Stan, you haven't said anything. It's not like you tonight. Stanley Jones said, I've sinned badly. But I'm not going to say more. But I do ask. I beg you, pray for me. And they did. Stanley Jones paraphrased Jesus and said, like a little candle that was smoldering, you could have put me out. Like a reed that is so gentle and could easily be broken. You could have destroyed me. And you didn't. Because Paul's writing to this congregation about people in this church that sin, the question and challenge is, how do we behave without sinning ourselves? One of those is we can denounce each other. In my 40-some years of ministry, I've had two murderers in the church. One brother killed his sister when she was just confirmed a few weeks. A drug deal gone bad. I had the trumpeter who played on Easter Sunday shake down men in an adult bookstore for sex, and when they wouldn't pay, he shot and buried them in the backyard. Early on when I moved to Minnesota, I had among the first cases of AIDS. And we've had people commit adultery, lie, cheat, steal, be drunk, be rude, be indifferent, be everything. That's who Paul is writing to. We can denounce each other and say, how dare you? Didn't God expect more of you? Didn't the blood of Christ on the cross mean anything to you? This is the way you're going to behave with each other? Or we can go to the other end of the spectrum and dismiss and say, ah, don't think anything of it. Everybody does it. Just move on. As though Christ's death on the cross meant nothing. So Paul says, as you do this with each other, restore them gently. Acknowledge sin. Acknowledge your sin. Confront the other sin, but the goal is always the reclamation and salvation of a soul. And Paul says you want to do that because otherwise you yourself may be tempted to do the same sin in this church. Everyone knows the old saying, one bad apple spoils the barrel, right? Now, here's your question for the day. For the right to end the sermon now, and go home right now. I've always wanted to say that in a sermon. If you get it right, I, honest to goodness, I will walk away. Who actually said that and what did they actually say? Because that is not actually the right quote. But that's the quote we're going to base it on. Who actually said and what did they really, really say? For the right to go home right now. All right, get comfortable. This is going to take a while. We had 20 more minutes to add on to the sermon. Here's the person that actually said it. Geoffrey Chaucer, 1300. The father of English literature did not say one bad apple spoils the barrel. He said the rotten apple, it's already there, ruins, not apples, neighbors. Scientists said it's not because they're little worms. It's because once an apple begins to rot, it emits a gas. And when that gas does, it begins to speed up the process of deterioration. And if you hang around where that is, honest to goodness, if we were not in a sophisticated church, I'd hold my nose and say, P.U. Because the rotten apple stinks. And it infects us all. And Paul doesn't say what was happening in the church in Galatia. But you clearly see and know that some sin was being denounced and other ignored and the spirituality declining. So then he begins to bring the whole letter to a close. And you know the passage. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. The key line of that is at the end, though. By your baptism, by your faith, the Father in heaven has a place for you. It's why he sent his Son to forgive us. Sin is everywhere. It's in us and it's around us and it's among us. We want to be aware of it. We want to confront it. We want to isolate it and remove it and forgive it because we want everyone sitting here today to be with us together in heaven. So let's do this. That is taken from one of the space shuttles looking down on the United States, and it doesn't mark out all the states, but you can kind of figure out where we are in all the pictures. So, let's do this. Anyone come home from work at night tired? Three of you. Okay. You're right, it is a hardworking congregation. It always has been, Pastor. Good luck with that. A little six-year-old guy comes home every night, the six-year-old's at home, dad comes home every night, walks in the door, and the six-year-old says, hey, dad, let's play. And every night, dad says, okay, let's play. Dad is extremely tired one night, walks in the door. The six-year-old runs, jumps, and says, "Let's play." And Dad is thinking, oh, you can see the wheels turning. I've got to slow this down, and I've got to quiet this kid. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Time magazine had come in and had a beautiful picture all about the space shuttle looking down. Dad says, "I'm going to play with you, but first you got to solve a problem. Go get a scissors and scotch tape and let me get this ready, and then when you do this, we're going to play." Fair enough? Dad's thinking this is going to take forever. So he takes the full-page picture from Time magazine, takes the scissors, and he begins to cut that satellite picture in as many pieces as he can. Now, I don't know how you are on jigsaw puzzles, but that would take me, when it says 6 to 8 years old, it would take me 8 years. Isn't that what that means when it says 6 to 8 or something like that, that long? Okay, it's going to take me that long. This little guy gets it. Dad thinks I got 20 minutes. The guy is back in 5 minutes. Dad said, "How in the world did you do that so fast?" The little guy said, "Dad, I turned the picture over and there was a man's face on the other side." And here's the point. When you put the man back together, you put the world back together. And so Paul wrote to the congregation he loved so much. And he said, "The final words I can say to you, let's put each other back together with sin and grace. And together we can make a difference in the world. Let's deal with sin, because the harvest is to be together with Christ. Amen." May the peace of God be yours in abundance.